You're listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust.
Hello, my name is Gareth Bryden and I'm the Children and Young People Manager with Thomas Pocklington Trust. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome you to this, the latest in the series of Blind Spot podcasts. With National Careers Week starting on the 1st of March, the subject for today's podcast will be Careers, Education, Information, Advice and Guidance. And I'm delighted to be joined to discuss that subject by Henrietta Still. Henrietta, or Henny, works as an enterprise coordinator in East Sussex in the southeast of England, and she's here to talk about her role and the work of her colleagues in supporting children and young people with special educational needs and disabilities, including, of course, those with a vision impairment. While we'll cover a range of subjects, the overarching theme will be what makes for really good careers education, information, advice and guidance, and the essential support necessary to enable children and young people to make a successful transition through school and college and onto things like university and into employment. Okay, so welcome, Henny, and thank you very much for agreeing to join us today. As I said in the introduction, you're an enterprise coordinator. So can you just start off by telling us a little bit more about the enterprise coordinator role and that of the enterprise advisors who work alongside you?
Sure. Hi, and thank you for having me. So I always like explaining what my role is because the title doesn't really give it away. And I also have a specialism in SEND. So my colleagues, I have three other enterprise coordinators within my team, and we all have the same duties in terms of our day-to-day work. However, my focus is purely on SEND. So the role of the enterprise company comes via the Careers and Enterprise Company, the CEC, and that comes from the Department for Education. And we support schools and colleges to meet the 8 Gatsby benchmarks of good careers guidance and a good careers program. And we do that by creating an enterprise advisor network. And our enterprise advisors are business volunteers that strategically support schools and colleges to create those strong, stable careers programs. And we like to say that our enterprise advisors are almost like critical friends. So our careers leads are experts in the field. They're experts in education. And by matching them up with business volunteers, those are volunteers, business enterprise advisors that are also experts in their field. And often when you've got careers leaders that are supporting young people within secondary or FE settings, they might not be completely aware of what's next, what's beyond secondary school or beyond further education within business. And that's really where the expertise of the enterprise advisor can come into play. And it all revolves around those 8 Gatsby benchmarks. So the way that I work with the careers leads in the special schools that I support and the enterprise advisors that volunteer to strategically support those schools is that we often use those 8 Gatsby benchmarks to look at how well the school is doing or of improvement or what needs to be done to support that school a little bit better. So, for example, I have one special school and their enterprise advisor is a general manager of a large hotel on a seaside town. And that school particularly is actually at 100% in all of their Gatsby benchmarks. They are a brilliant school, but particularly this school supports young people with SEND that are a little bit more moderate to severe learning difficulties. Yep. And they often struggle to really find valuable work experience. So this is where the enterprise advisor partnership really supports or works well with that particular school, because the enterprise advisor was able to say, right, I am going to be the ambassador for this school when I go to local chamber of commerce meetings, and I'm going to try and help you find more work experience placements for these students, because I understand the cohort now, because I come here with for my meetings, I understand what you're trying to achieve, your careers program is excellent, but your young people need more encounters with employers.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Henny. We'll come on to talk a little bit more about the Gatsby benchmarks in due course. You mentioned there that you gave that specific example of the specialist school. It'd be interesting to get your thoughts on how things work for children with SEND who are in mainstream settings. So obviously we support children and young people with a vision impairment, and we estimate that roughly 7 in 10 of those children and young people are actually in mainstream settings. And there are a whole host of reasons for that, which we'll not go into. But be interested just to get your thoughts in terms of how those roles work in relation to those children and young people, as well as those in specialist settings?
Definitely. I think that's a really good question, Gareth, because like you say, we know that mainstream settings are actually where the majority of our young people with SEND are. And I think what's difficult is I am based in East Sussex, and when I speak to colleagues around the country, there is a familiar phrase that comes up quite a lot of the geographical lottery. So how a young person is supported depends on which local authority that particular young person or family sit within. And it just so happens that in East Sussex, we have some really, really amazing specialist provision and quite a few special schools. But as you say, the majority of young people with SEND or just additional needs or impairments are often within those mainstream settings. So we're quite unique in East Sussex because we are actually a careers hub, which basically means that we support all of the Gatsby benchmarks. And we began 5 years ago. And from inception, from when we started off as a careers hub, we wanted to include all schools and colleges. And that was, however, other areas weren't necessarily a careers hub. So they only focused on two Gatsby benchmarks, and they may not have had all schools within that area involved in that work. So most other areas focus on Gatsby benchmark 5 and 6. Whereas in East Sussex, we started off all Gatsby benchmarks, all schools. So when I came into post a couple of years ago, my specific remit was to support special schools only. However, I quickly realized that there was some amazing work going on in the mainstream schools, but sometimes there was a disconnect between how well the SENCO was supporting particular learners and what the careers leader was putting in place for the rest of the school cohort or for the school at large, as it were. So actually what we've created in East Sussex is a SEND community of practice. And that was done through support from the Careers and Enterprise Company, actually. So we set up the SEND community of practice. It's virtual. We've never met all at once together. What I wanted to do in East Sussex is I really wanted to bring SENCOs together, careers leads from mainstream and special settings, and post 16 providers, both FE and supported employment providers. I wanted to bring all of those amazing BODs to one place to not look at the Gatsby benchmarks per se, but to just focus on employment pathways or pathways for young people with SEND that were positive. And actually that's been a real eye opener because it's been, for some of those schools, it's been the first time that the SENCO has really had a part to play in the careers education of all of the learners rather than just their small cohort. So it may be that that particular SENCO or a facility that supports a particular cohort of young people with SEN is creating lots of activities, but those activities aren't being built into the school careers program. So yep. Actually, through the SEND community of practice, we've been able to build some of those bridges. And that's been really positive, actually. And I think it's just added to a bit of a increase in attention that is needed for this all-inclusive approach to what is possible for young people with VI.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I think it's really interesting. So obviously you mentioned that there are others of you around the country performing similar roles. And obviously we don't expect everybody to do the same thing everywhere. It sounds like in East Sussex, you're doing some really amazing kind of forward looking stuff to bring all of those people together. Do you connect with your peers around the country and collaborate? Are there any mechanisms for you to do that so that you can tell them about the good stuff and they can tell you about their good stuff?
Yes, indeed, Gareth. And I think, of course, in the last year or so, perhaps we'll talk about COVID-19 later on. but we have all had to move to working and communicating digitally. And actually, that's been a real breath of fresh air in terms of connecting with national colleagues. But way back in March 2019, just a few months after I began in role, I didn't feel isolated, but I definitely felt as though I really wanted to learn from other people around the country, and I didn't have a network or a way of communicating with other people to learn from best practice. And I was having lots of phone calls with various enterprise coordinators in other areas. every area does things slightly differently, especially with the role of the enterprise coordinator. You know, we're part of a local authority. Some people are part of a local enterprise partnership, and it really, you know, does depend on the locality. So going back to March 2019, I wanted to connect with other enterprise coordinators. So I put out a shout out on Facebook Workplace, which is an online platform that the Careers and Enterprise Company use to connect with colleagues around the country. And I said, does anyone want to join a virtual EC Send specific meetup? And I had quite a few people come back and say yes. So I set it up. And in the beginning, in March 2019, I had 20 people join that. And ultimately, we just spoke about what we were doing in our areas. And actually, now there are 80 people that are on the distribution list for that online platform. So, yeah, that's been really positive, actually. And I think it's grown because of the raising awareness of what SEND actually means, and also because the Careers and Enterprise Company really has put in a lot of backing in terms of supporting this agenda, and they've done a lot of work with Talentino as a strategical partner as well to create specific resources around upskilling the enterprise coordinators, I would say.
So can you just tell us a little bit more about what are the Gatsby benchmarks and why they're so important for children and young people with SEND, and also the work that goes on in careers hubs that to basically drive practice in relation to those?
Yeah, so the Gatsby Foundation a few years ago conducted some research across Europe and looked at best practice in terms of careers education. And with that research, they created the Gatsby benchmarks in terms of a framework of best practice. And the 8 Gatsby benchmarks were mentioned in the Department for Education's career strategy that was released in 2017. And there's been lots and lots of research completed by partners as to the importance of careers education in the UK. So, for example, the Education and Employers Task Force suggests that young people need at least 4 or more encounters with employers for careers education to be effective.
Yeah.
And those who experience 4 or more employer encounters are 5 times less likely to fall out of education and work and can earn 18% more during their careers. Wow. And so I personally think that it's important that young people with SEND have access to those advantages as part of that kind of overall commitment to building high expectations of what we can achieve. I mean, so I can read you the 8 guts benchmarks now, if you like. The first one is a stable careers program. So that's all about a school being really clear about what their careers strategy is, what's their careers program for all of their learners, what are young people accessing at different stages of their careers journey or their education journey, shall I say. And those programs are visible on a website, it's evaluated. Gatsby Benchmark 2 is learning from career and labour market information. So ultimately, that's being really knowledgeable about what future study options are available locally to that specific area, and what sectors are growing, where are the recruitment needs in which sectors to that area specifically. Benchmark 3 is addressing the needs of each pupil. So that's making sure that pupils have different career guidance at different stages and that all opportunities and all support is tailored to the needs of each pupil. Gatsby Benchmark 4 is linking curriculum learning to careers. So that's ultimately bringing in all teachers, linking their curriculum learning to careers. Gatsby Benchmark 5 is encounters with employers and employees. And often we say that's around enrichment activities such as going out and visiting a place of work, mentoring, enterprise schemes, etc. Gatsby Benchmark 6, experiences of the workplace, so work experience, first-hand experience. Gatsby Benchmark 7, encounters with further and higher education, so schools and colleges bringing in a multitude of providers so that there's no bias around where a young person should be going, that that young person has an opportunity to understand all of the different opportunities that they can move on to. And then Gatsby Benchmark 8 is personal guidance. And this is particularly key because this is around young people or all pupils having one-to-one sessions with a level 6 qualified IAG professional, so information advice and guidance professionals.
And obviously Careers Hubs, just to confirm, that those are kind of collectives of schools and colleges and stakeholders who all come together to try to just share best practice and really drive the standards in a particular area around, with Gatsby in the middle of it. Is that kind of a succinct way to describe those?
Somewhat. So the bulk of our work, as I mentioned before, is funded by the Careers and Enterprise Company, by the Department for Education. And within the Careers Hubs, we have particularly more resources to support our schools to meet the objectives of all of those Gatsby benchmarks. So, for example, we run lots of training opportunities and support those schools and those careers leaders particularly to achieve all of those benchmarks in varying ways. So when the Careers and Enterprise Company began with the Careers Hubs 5 years ago, there were only 20 in the country, and now there are 40. Yeah. And so the way that the Careers Hubs are structured are slightly different to other areas. The Careers Hubs, we are based at a local authority, but sometimes the Careers Hubs are supported by a LEP, a local enterprise partnership. And then they have a certain amount of schools that sign a memorandum of understanding to join us and be supported on their careers journey.
Yeah, and that's a really good thing. And I get, without going too far into the Skills for Jobs white paper, it seems clear from that, even though it doesn't go into masses of detail, that direction of travel is not going to change. It seems like they're going to reinforce that further still. And certainly in relation to things like encounters with employers and training providers through what's called the Baker Clause, I believe, there's going to be more and more accountability for schools and colleges to make sure that happens. And provided that it's, you know, done with the carrot rather than the stick, I guess we all support that. And certainly for our vision impaired children and young people, as long as those encounters are meaningful and they are effectively based upon equality of opportunity and access, then again, that seems to be a good thing with potential.
Yeah, I mean, it's all really positive. And of course, Ofsted, with the change in the Ofsted framework a couple of years ago, inspectors are now looking more holistically at personal development and different aspects and values of a young person's educational journey, and they will be looking at whether a school is meeting the Gatsby benchmarks and how they're supporting the careers education of that school. So that's a really positive move in itself, and I don't think it should be the carrot and the stick. I think it's something that we all should be moving towards, and there's plenty of research and anecdotal evidence, you know, even just the research that you mentioned now about those young people that were able to go on work experience, how rewarding that was for them. And I think that's where, you know, you mentioned around young people being able to vocalize their need when they go to a place of work or when they're moving forward within their lives. But it's also about educating employers around reasonable adjustments and access to work, and breaking down myths and barriers that they may have about particular young people.
So in East Sussex in particular, you mentioned the work that you've done with employers. Are there any particularly good sort of really quality case studies or pieces of work that you can think of that have involved vision impaired children and young people where things have come together to really, you know, to really make something special happen?
So I also have a dual role in that I am an enterprise coordinator, but I also am managed by iSent at the local authority. And so that part of my role is all around increasing employment pathways for young people with SEND across East Sussex. That part of my role, Gareth, gives me an understanding of what is available and who the organisations are in East Sussex and around that can really support supported employment opportunities. I had a mainstream school in a rural area come to me, and they said, we have a young girl and she has additional needs. She has visual impairment and hearing impairment. Actually, her visual is that she has suppressed color vision, restricted field of vision, reduced depth perception. She has severe hearing loss in one ear and mild in another, and some other complex health needs. So the careers leader at the mainstream school said, we've got this young girl, she's in year 11, she's moving on to a local college, to a level 2 course at a local college. But academically, she could be working higher than that. She's going to be gaining her GCSEs this year, but we just don't think that she's going to thrive in that environment because of the needs. The college can provide for her. They've got everything in set up, but we just think that she's not going to thrive on that course, and she really wants to become a teacher, but there's no local organizations that are going to support her. And there is a local organization that specializes in supported apprenticeships, yep, but their expertise is learning disabilities. Whereas this young girl, she's going to get her GCSEs. She could be moving on to a level 3 apprenticeship, and she really needs the right employer and the right training provider to support her. So I said to this school, I said, well, why don't you become the employer? You become the apprentice employer, yeah, and I'll link you up with a training provider called Dynamic Training that are based in London, and they are experts in supporting young people with additional needs. So I'll link you up with them and maybe have a conversation and see whether you can set it up. And they did, and it's been really successful, actually, and she's done really well. So she started it, well, this academic year. She's been doing a lot virtually, yeah, but they might extend her apprenticeship. But yeah, it's great. You know, this is a young woman with VI that's on a level 3 teaching assistant apprenticeship, and that's because she had the right employer that really understood her and, yeah, the right training provider. And I think what's key is there are so many different pathways, but the key is understanding our young people and making sure that we can find the right provision for them. Otherwise, they'll just end up NEET, you know, they'll just end up not in education, employment or training, because we haven't found that right thing that really, really gets them going.
Yeah, or churning meaninglessly through in the system just for the sake of not being NEET. And that's kind of, it's not worse, but it's not that much better, I guess, either. And I think it's so that's an example. And I think that is that raises a point that's really important for us, too, is that we quite, I guess, sometimes we feel maybe that sometimes the whole concept of SEND can become a little bit synonymous with supported models of all sorts, whether it's traineeships, apprenticeships, internships, and the learning disabilities agenda is absolutely essential. And we realize that there are lots more people out there living with those sorts of things than there are living with just vision impairment. But for us, and obviously that the importance of the example you've just given is that for our people, the challenges are not necessarily cognitive or emotional. Mm. Academically, they're completely fine, given the right access, given the right, you know, the right materials, the right, you know, whatever it may be that they need to be able to access information. Once they've got that in place in a working medium, then they do fine. And I know that we previously we spoke about your connection, because you as you said, the enterprise coordinator role is slightly different depending on where you are, but you've got something in your role that actually also gives you a really good connection with the sensory impairment and the qualified teachers of the vision impairment teams in East Sussex, haven't you? Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how you work with them to raise awareness of what you do?
I'm lucky in that our team, the East Sussex Careers Hub team, we sit within Children's Services and Economic Development at the local authority. And that just means that we're part of much wider, clear communication pathways with departments or teams that really drive or support our works. Regularly, I have conversations with the Sensory Needs Services. I've gone and I've presented to them the work of the Careers Hub and the importance of careers education. Again, just joining those dots so that there is an understanding that this work is going on. And yeah, they regularly come to a lot of our events as well. So In January 2020, I held a bespoke careers event for young people with SEN across East Sussex, Key Stage 4. And Sensory Needs Services came along so that they could have a table there and meet with young people that they may not have met with before, or again, just link up with young people that they were already supporting to say, hey, we're part of this as well. And they give a lot of feedback on the resources that I create as well, to just make sure that we are being as inclusive as possible.
You mentioned earlier on that you just felt really lucky to be in East Sussex because it just felt like a really good place to be. From my perspective, it sounds to me like one of the reasons that East Sussex is such a good place to be is you and the work that you do.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I do want to share a quote from an inspiring woman that I know, if I may. So when I first came into Post a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, there was a CEO of a local organisation, Little Gate, called Claire, and I heard her speak at, and she said that she wakes up every day and she is excited to go to work and loves her job, and it shouldn't be any different for a young person with an additional need. And I just thought it was such an easy thing to say, but it was so frank and meaningful. And I feel like that, you know, I feel very lucky to have the job that I have. And I don't need to make too many adjustments to enable that for myself. But that shouldn't be any different for any other young person or any other adult when they're moving forward in their lives. Every person should have access to what they need to in order to thrive and to move into a career that they want to, regardless of whether they have a visual impairment or not. And I think that's really key. That's my driver to continue supporting young people and all of those people like yourselves that support young people, is just making sure that we are as open as possible to creating those opportunities. So yeah, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. And
brilliant. Thank you. Well, that shines from you and your passion for what you do. So thanks again, Henny.
You've been listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust. If you'd like to find out more about what we do at TPT, check out our website. Go to www.pocklington-trust.org.uk. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. Thank you for listening.